never faking. Wrap you motherfuckers up, leave you naked to true runners. Top tag team for two summers. Live and let live, fuck you cuz, cause that's a fool's honor. I'm walking toting on two llamas. You niggas ass and trash and trash. Fuck it, I'm too honest. So fuck you fuck boys forever, hope I said it politely. And that's about the psyche of Jamie and Mikey. You need another pair, better, highly unlikely. And if I can't rap it, maggot, fuck, then fight me. I leave for the thrill of the kill, yes, it excites me. You know your favorite rapper ain't shit. And me, I might be the closest representation of God you might see. Pay honors like your mama, young son, and take a right knee. The passion of Pop, the depth of Nas, circa 9, Mr. Mind, the brand Jordan, and Chuck D, and find me. I speak with the diction of Malcolm, Isaiah, Bun B. Prevail through hell, so Satan, D.D. behind me.
I never been much of shit, my most measurements don't exist. On a radar, a little blip in the shadow of motherships. I'm smothered and wrestling up with my hucksters and global spin. The sign of my back's is stagging, my soul is your little bitch. Maybe you should be careful when flipping a strange switch. Like assuming the war is won ain't a symptom of arrogance. With nothing to lose, a step up, then everything's for the win. So we grin in the face of frauds until monsters are suck our dicks. I'd let it spit on your grave, my existence is to disgrace you. The kitten became a lion to look at your face like great fools. Why we got the people behind us? All the rappers are vaginas for the fame. The true runners will always stay rude. Motherfuck your permission, was never yours to begin with. And every bar that bitch shit you spit is your fucking prison. I've been here making raw shit and never asked to be lauded. Run the jewels is the answer, your question is what's pop.
Right there. Hello, hello, hello. You're listening to the CITR 101.9 FM. This is Simon Welton. What you're about to listen to is the White Noise comedy show coming up here right away. Following that, of course, is the White Noise after show. And today I'll be joined in the studio by comedian Nick Roy. So definitely stay tuned for that. We've also got a special gift coming for you, which is you'll get to hear the world record for impressions in a minute. Which is, I think, quite spectacular. So I think you should definitely hang about for that. But without further ado, this is White Noise, so enjoy.
Characters and advertisements are completely fabricated. Listener discretion is advised.
Good evening and welcome to White Noise. I'm your host, Richard Blackmore, and tonight we delve back into the brilliant and the bizarre for your listening pleasure. This show is brought to you in part by Air Mattresses, the official beds of Satan. First up tonight is medical drama Nervous Norman.
Good afternoon, sir.
Sorry, but who are you?
Dr. Ball's the name. Medicine's the game. How may I help you?
Where's Dr. Willis?
Willis has been let go.
Let go? Why?
Apparently his prostate exams had a few more extra steps than I've ever seen in a medical textbook.
Oh! I just thought he was being thorough.
Well, I'm sure the resulting investigation will be. So, what can I do for you?
Well, sorry. I'm just really nervous. I have a bad history with doctors and pain.
Well, as I said, that wasn't the correct way to do a prostate check.
Not that. It's just, ever since I was a child, every time I go to the doctors, I seem to always end up in agony as a result.
Well, I will try to be gentle. Now, come on. What is wrong? I haven't got all day. I have a very important gynecological appointment next.
Oh, no. Is the patient really sick?
No, just a smoking heart. So what's the matter?
It's my knee. It's been hurting me since... What are you doing with that?
Oh, this hammer?
Yes.
Just hanging up my certificates. Easy, buddy. Continue on.
Well, yes. So my knee. It gets this shooting pain every time. What the hell is that for?
This screwdriver?
Yes.
Just adjusting my chair? Well, You're more nervous than a fat teenager on a date.
So what do I do with the pain?
Well, there is a simple operation I can perform to correct it.
What's with the drill? Oh, wait, of course. You're going to mount that set of antlers lying on the floor.
Aren't they marvellous? I started only hunting last year. Who would have thought doctors would enjoy killing so much? However, no, this drill is for you. Where are you going? God, some people can't take a joke.
Oh, that poor Norman. I hate going to the doctors too. All they ever do is tell me I have diabetes. Change the record, guys. We'll be hearing more from Norman later in the show. Next up tonight is the hit American game show, The Hot Seat. Enjoy.
To the most exhilarating game show since Your Family or a Sports Car. It's the Hot Seat. The game is simple. Answer as many questions as you can before our patented hot seats get too hot to sit in. There are bonus marks for blisters. Tonight's first contestant is Henrietta from Windsor, Ontario.
Hi, Kendra. It's so exciting to be here. I'm a huge fan.
Well, I wasn't going to mention your weight, but as you brought it up first... And what is the subject you have chosen to be quizzed on?
Russian literature between 1833 and 1870.
Sorry, I haven't got any questions on that. What was your second choice?
Celebrity couples.
Perfect. Now, just before we start, just want to check. Everybody here signed the liability waivers?
Uh-huh.
Yeah.
Alrighty then, are you ready?
Yes.
Okay, heat the seat. First question. Which freak was Drew Barrymore once married to?
Tom Green.
Correct. When Madonna was still hot, who was she married to?
Sean Penn.
Correct again. Now, which rocker husband did not give Pamela Anderson hepatitis?
Kid Rock.
Wow, correct. That answer surprised me. Now, okay, Nicolas Cage tricked which music legend's daughter into marrying him?
Elvis Presley's daughter! I'm done! No more!
Okay, well done, Henrietta. That was four correct answers. Next up is Fabian from Prince George, BC.
Hello.
And what's your chosen subject, Fabian?
Ancient Greek architecture.
You're joking, right? Try again.
My second choice is Harry Potter trivia.
Oh, thank you. Okay, and would everyone else take note and stop asking for such ridiculous subjects? Thank you. I have to write these questions, and some of us didn't go to a fancy community college. Okay? Now, are you ready, Fabian?
Yeah.
All right, start the hot seat. Now, who was Harry Potter's rival?
Oh, that's easy. A Draco Malfoy.
No, it was Lord Voldemort. Okay. Next. Who was Mrs. Weasley's favorite child?
What? Ron?
Did you even read the book? It is clearly Charlie. Now, which book does Hermione get caught in?
The Goblet of Fire!
Ew! No, it's The Deathly Hallows when she turns 18, you pedo. Okay. What was the last thing that Dumbledore said?
Oh, that's easy. Severus, please.
No, it was when he hit the ground. Come on, baby. Sort it out. Okay, which book was best?
The Prisoner of... I'm done. No more.
No, I'm sorry. It wasn't The Prisoner of... It was The Prisoner of Azkaban. Unlucky Fabian. Now, please go see the nice lady in the first A-10. She will stop the agony. Now, our last contestant is Alan from Halifax. Welcome, Alan.
Hi, Kendra.
And what's your chosen topic, Alan?
I will have human anatomy, please.
Oh, okay. But just so you know, I only have genitalia-related questions.
Even better.
Okay, let's heat the seat. Alan, the word clitoris is Greek for...
divine and goddess-like.
Oh, correct. Now, penis... is Latin for...
tail.
Correct again! Okay, what is the most varied part of the female genitalia?
The labia.
Wow! correct. Okay, next question. Who is statistically more likely to masturbate? Married or single people?
Easy. Married people.
Wow, correct. One more for the win, Alan. Okay. Smoking can shorten your penis by how much?
That would have to be a centimeter.
Correct! You win, Alan! Congratulations! A well-played game. Wait, Alan, you're on fire! Your pants are on fire! How are you not feeling that?
I'm a paraplegic. I came in on a wheelchair, Kendra.
Oh my god, I just thought you had a dodgy knee. Move now!
All right, calm down. I wore my old jeans on purpose.
Well, there you have it. Alan is our hot seat champion this week. He gets the top prize, the Starbucks gift card. A big thanks to all our other contestants. They go home with a bottle of moisturizer. Join us again for more Hot Seat.
Thank you, Kendra. I love a good quiz show. That was brought to you in part by greetings cards. There's $5 you'll never see again. Coming up next, an excerpt from British experimental writer Felix Ferrante, whose play, Geriatric Juniors, explores the very real 21st century social concern of children who grow up too quickly. This segment centers around 3 7-year-olds struggling to cope with the world around them. Do not adjust your dial, because I'm about to do that for you.
Old people aren't what they used to be. I remember the days when I'd get in from preschool, I'd get an instant treat, a cuddle and a kiss, then straight to peekaboo. Those were the days.
Yeah, now they're all Jeff, put down the knife. Where'd you hide the walker? Why did you put the cat in the oven?
I know, just no respect for us anymore whatsoever. I remember I could throw up on Grandad and get a standing ovation.
But you have to admit, last week when you were sick in Nana's dentures cup and didn't tell her, that was out of order.
Well, whatever, she's senile, so she's probably forgotten already.
Not so bad then.
She also forgot my last 2 birthdays and Christmas. She remembered everyone born before 1995. It's BS.
Actually, it's MS and dementia.
Fine, I give up. I gave Nana my best years and in return, she has left everything to my elder, more successful brother. So what if he's the under-12s taekwondo champion? So what if he saved an entire family from a burning building even though he suffers from asthma? And yeah, he won Junior Master Chef. He's still a ginger.
You got a problem with gingers?
No, no, each to their own. It's their lives. If they want to live in sin, not my business, right?
What are you trying to say? My desk partner's a redhead.
Nothing, it's just a choice I disagree with.
What the fuck?
Juice boxes, anyone?
Is it organic? What's in it?
I don't know. It's got juice in it. It keeps me regular.
No, thanks. I have a strictly healthy food-only diet. I'm as fit as a fiddle. I still have all my baby teeth.
But you're not meant to keep them. They're like a free pass. You can knock them out, open bottles with them, and not brush them. It doesn't matter. Plus, the tooth fairy gives you money for them.
There is no tooth fairy.
Isn't there?
No! What would anyone want to collect everyone's teeth for and pay them for it?
Maybe to build gothic furniture.
Or as a charity tax dodge.
Nope, it's just your parents.
Well, if they are paying us for bodily secretions...
No one wants to buy your poo, mate.
At least it actually has some use.
Like what?
It could be used for manure.
Not yours. I don't need plants that grow well in digested Pop-Tarts and Hot Pockets.
Still less stupid than selling your teeth.
Well, best be off, guys. Have to do my calisthenics then, off to sleep. I'll be up early to pee the bed.
Fair enough. I've got a ton of finger painting to get done that's due tomorrow by noon.
Don't forget the funeral at Timmy's later.
Again, why do we have to go? It's not my fault he can't look after a goldfish. Jesus Christ!
Be nice. I think he's got early onset dementia.
No, he's 9. He's just an idiot.
A riveting excerpt from Geriatric Juniors. That may be a modern classic in the making. Coming up next is a debate on pornography. This could get messy.
Good evening, and welcome to Debate Nation. I'm Ellen Engel, and tonight we discuss pornography. Is it an exploitative and degenerate industry, or everyone's dirty secret? To discuss the matter, I have in the studio Jenny Juggs, professional porn star.
Hi, y'all. Hi to my fans. Remember to check out my latest film, The Hummer Games, Mockingjay Part 1.
Concerned Mother Association Chairperson Helen Tenozzi.
Hello, everyone.
Psychology Professor Steve Island.
Good evening.
And porn fan Eddie Fiddler.
Hi, everyone. Hey, Jenny.
Hey, Eddie.
Did you get my flowers?
Yes, and the poetry and the face cream. I don't mind the first two, but face cream, Eddie? Are you trying to say something? High def has been tough on all of us in the industry.
That wasn't face cream.
You guys can discuss that after our show, thank you. My babysitter's only allowed out till 9.
Very young, is she?
No, it's a condition of her parole. Anyway, let's start with Steve. As arguably the most qualified person here, what do you think about porn?
Personally, when done right, it's fantastic. It's an outlet for men and women's sexual tension without hurting anyone except their own pride. Of course, though, there is always a possibility that people could be exploited in the making of it.
It's true. They barely pay the janitor at our studio anything, and they don't even let him watch.
How do I get that job?
What do you think, Helen?
I think Eddie needs a hobby, Jenny needs a bra, and Steven needs a cold shower. Pornography is the worst part of Western society. It creates a completely false idea of sex, relationships, and contraception.
That's not true. We might have a few extra creative moves, but sex is sex, lady.
Oh, yeah? I've seen your work. I don't personally ever remember having a four-way with two guys and a cucumber.
You need to get out more.
That was one movie. What about my sensual series, all of it designed to be romantic, erotic film?
Greatest trilogy ever. Fuck Star Wars.
Filth, the whole lot. Why can't men keep the mystery in their love lives? Sex, like anything, is so much sweeter in moderation. Nothing is quite the same in excess.
But what about those guys who can't get a girl that easily? You ever try being fat, ugly, and single?
Is he talking about me?
No, I have more self-respect than that. I keep in great shape and eat cleanly.
Yeah, with a boob job, you would do quite well in MILF porn.
I would do no such thing.
Yeah, she's almost in GILF territory, actually.
Huh! How dare you! I can't believe that all of you are for this kind of grotesque, exploitive garbage! It only hurts society!
Probably stops a few unwanted children from being born, which is where the industry usually recruits from. It also helps keep creepy dudes inside their houses where they can't harm anyone.
What about the exploitation?
So what? Models are exploited, interns in any job are exploited, most of the workers in the third world are exploited. Anyone who doesn't own their own business is arguably exploited. At least they can get paid a decent wage. There's a guy spinning a pizza sign outside. He needs your help more than Jenny Juggs here.
It's true. I just bought the nicest car.
Ooh, what's the license plate?
Nice try. I won't be dumb enough to use my own car in a video again. There was so much lube left on the seat last time. My grandma chipped a tooth getting out of the post office.
Well, Steve, I really thought you were going to side more with Helen on this one. I'm surprised you're so pro-porn.
Well, yes, it did cost me my first marriage, and I'm not allowed in the greater Amsterdam area anymore. But that is not because porn is innately bad. It's more that I am innately an idiot. It was honestly the rise of the internet that screwed it all up for me. Years ago, I looked at one Playboy a month, and I was fine. Now, I can literally access free porn 24 hours a day. Man is too weak to handle that kind of power.
It's true. The market is saturated. If you won't do niche stuff these days, it's hard to stand out.
Aren't you usually lying down anyway?
I can picture your sex life. Your poor husband.
Well, I grew up in the internet era, and I can handle it.
Really? You have a healthy, normal sexual relationship?
No, but that's nothing to do with porn. That's more to do with my personality. Lack of money and hereditary foot odor.
I know you can't help it, Eddie, but could you at least put your feet on the floor?
Oh, yeah, sorry.
I have a news article here.
Apparently, recent studies have indicated that excessive amounts of viewing of pornography can lead to erectile dysfunction. Thoughts?
There you go. Excessive is the key word there. In moderation, men will be fine.
But it's so Moorish.
Exactly. Someone needs to protect guys like Eddie.
Oh, no, it's Eddie that needs saving. Why don't you go and get a hobby, Helen?
I have book club, Pilates, and I take a French class.
Oh, is that so that you can complain in two languages?
Oh, be quiet, you skank!
I have only ever had two boyfriends. Thank you very much. You have given it up for free far more times than I have, lady. Plus, once I save enough, I'm becoming a naturopath. And anyway, what gives you the right to tell me what I can do with my body?
I am only doing what your mother clearly didn't do. I am looking out for your best interests.
Oh, really? It's not successful stars like me that you need to worry about. It's naive people at the bottom of the industry, willing to do anything to get a break, who need your concern.
So you do see what I'm saying?
No, I see what I have been saying. There is something that has to change, and it has to change today. If society is to gain its self-respect, we need more money for porn janitors.
Well, that's all we have time for today. Thank you to my guests, and I will see you next time on Debate Nation.
Brilliant banter there. Glad to see a debate about a subject we can actually all care about. Next time tonight, we check back in with the nervous Norman at his appointment with his psychiatrist.
Hello, Dr. Me.
Afternoon, Norman. Take a seat. Not the good chair.
Oh, sorry.
Now, what can I do for you? Have you been binge-watching Two and a Half Men again?
No, I've always dressed this way. I wore bowling shirts way before Charlie Sheen did. I showed you the pictures.
Well then, has that ugly girl with the hairy lip upset you again?
You mean my mum?
Probably. I'm only ever half listening.
No, she's touring Europe with a band.
Oh, a musician, is she?
No, the band's Lynyrd Skynyrd.
I don't want to know then.
Look, why don't you let me speak?
All right, fine then, go on.
It's my anxiety. I'm finding myself really panicky around people, especially doctors.
But don't you work in that awful, huge grazing facility?
Hey, I like my job at the food court. You get to eat all the leftover food on people's trays.
Come on, you're boring me, Norman. This morning I had a man with a wife, two girlfriends, a boyfriend, and commitment issues. And after that, a woman who could only eat while sitting on a toilet in Starbucks. Though, we should probably come back to the eating food off people's trays.
I'm sorry if my problems aren't impressive enough for you.
Well, thank you for acknowledging that.
I'm being facetious.
Well, don't get it on my chair. Go to the bathroom.
Look, can you just prescribe me something for it? And I will be on my way.
There is no cure for being that dull. I mean, maybe I could prescribe a weekend in Tijuana. That'll definitely give you some stories. Or maybe join a fraternity. Of course, all your stories would then end with, "And then I threw up on myself." But the rest would be fun.
Would you shut up? I came here for advice about my problems. I paid you good money to listen. And all you've done is talk absolute garbage the whole time. I have anxiety. Give me drugs.
That Charlie Sheen likeness is coming back.
What kind of psychiatrist are you?
What do you feel right now?
Angry.
Anxious?
No.
You're welcome. That'll be $50, please. Send the next one in.
Ah, poor Norman. Everybody should know there is nothing wrong with bowling shirts. Next up tonight is an American play depicting the trial of Karl Marx for the crime of inciting communism. We pick it up during the crucial interrogation of Marx himself.
Karl Marx, you were charged with the crime of inciting communism, leading to the forming of the USSR, the People's Republic of China, and losing America its literal sugar mama, Cuba. Crimes we still feel the repercussions of today. What is your defense?
You have got to be joking. How is that lot my fault? I wasn't talking about Russia. I was talking about England, Germany, places where it would actually have worked.
Your philosophy is what led to the deaths of millions of Russians and countless others.
Look, they never even got close to what I was talking about. That, I don't know what the hell that was. It wasn't what I envisioned. I mean, where was the dissolving of government after the revolution? Quite honestly, you got the wrong guy.
You are quoted countless times by the tyrannical leaders of these communist dictatorships.
So what? They also quoted a million other people. Let's go round up everyone who was ever quoted by a maniac. Whatever happened to free speech?
Speech is more prepaid these days, Carl. Keep up with the times. Your philosophy is clearly at the heart of these atrocities I have described. Look, you are going to lose this battle, so any last words?
Yeah, a few. First, you definitely cannot blame me for North Korea. Second, Adam Smith, Dick Cheney, Ronald Reagan, and Rush Limbaugh can all go fuck themselves. And third, vive la revolution!
Get him out!
Poor old Marx. He was only trying to help. That piece was brought to you part by American Chocolate. It's delicious if you've never tasted chocolate before. Last up tonight is the reality show, Internet Love.
Hi, I'm Sam Anders, and this is Internet Love, the show where we follow young love's journey from data connection to powerful erections. Tonight's couple, Kylie and Sid, have been talking online for a week. They are meeting up for the first time today. We caught up with them before they met. Hi, Sid. How are you feeling about the date?
Definitely nervous. Quite a bit sweaty and a little bit drunk.
Why so nervous?
Well, this is my first date with a real woman.
A real woman?
Yes, there hasn't been any others, except a Lars and the Real Girl incident a while back.
Oh, I see. Could you describe yourself for our listeners?
5'10", normal build.
Sorry, go on.
My mother says I have a noble nose.
He means huge.
A youthful face.
No chin.
I'm a computer programmer.
All star to make sense.
I'm a vegetarian.
Nothing wrong with that.
And I have a great sense of humor.
Well, you're going to need it. And what sort of relationship are you looking for with Kylie?
True love. Huh. I really do hope she's the one. But I'd settle for second base.
Of course you would. Now let's check in with Kylie. Kylie, are you looking forward to tonight?
I guess. Get a lot of these dates, you know. Guys always ask me out online.
Yeah, I've seen your profile. I must compliment you on some fabulous photoshopping.
Thank you. It's hard to stay in shape when you eat out on as many of these dates as I do. Restaurant food is very fattening.
And how would you describe yourself for our listeners?
I'm just your typical Virgo, you know, a perfectionist, careful with details, always tidy.
All right, this isn't a fortune telling or a job interview. Could you try again, please?
Okay. I'm 20. I'm so much fun. Everyone says so. And I'm a great kisser. I have a huge following on Instagram.
Uh-huh. Any real accomplishments?
Excuse me?
Any real accomplishments?
Instagram is real.
Uh-huh. Have you got a big stack of Reddit karma to go with that?
Yeah, front page 6 times. How about that?
Ooh, can I get your autograph?
Oh, sure. I don't mind autographs. But way too many people ask me to send them my underwear.
Dear God, no. One final question. What level of relationship are you looking for with Sid?
Just dinner is fine.
Oh, Sid will be thrilled, I'm sure. We shall return with the dinner date after these messages. Internet Love is brought to you in part by Online Medical Advice. You've got everything. And also, bubble tea, the tasty choking hazard. Kylie and Sid are at the table now. Let's join the action.
So, how was your day?
Fine. I went to the dog park.
Oh, you have a dog?
No.
Oh.
I'm sorry. I'm not saying much. It's much harder to sound cool when I don't take 20 minutes to think of a reply.
Do you not talk much to other people?
No, I have loads of friends. The guys down at Best Buy love me.
Oh, do you work there?
No. What do you do?
Oh, lots.
Oh.
Well, I really want to be one of those people who makes money by making appearances in places.
You mean a celebrity?
Yeah, exactly.
But don't you need to be famous for something first?
You obviously don't keep up to date with celebrities. So tell me, what's your dream?
Usually me falling to my death over and over again.
No, I mean like your dream life.
Oh! I would be the next Alan Turing, except without the chemical castration. You?
I want to live in a massive house with a sports car and a pool.
What would you do, though?
Well, I wouldn't need to work, silly. I'd be rich.
So, I was just wondering, would it be all right if we go Dutch tonight?
I don't want to be a part of any of your perverted plans. We didn't meet on Tinder.
I think you misunderstand.
I don't want to know. I'm going to the bathroom.
Hi, Sid. Wow, Kylie is in the bathroom. How is it going?
Not great. I think she might hate me. But she hasn't left, and I think I could grow to really like her, honestly.
Wow, you're desperate. Okay, she's coming back. I'll leave you two lovebirds to it. Good luck.
It was busy. I'll just hold it in. So what else are you into?
Comics, baseball, birdwatching. You?
Oh, that all sounds awful. I really like YouTube bloggers. They really help me form my opinions, I find.
Oh, that's cool. What's your favorite movie?
Saw 6. It's where the series really hit its stride. You?
Star Wars. Hands down, the greatest 3 movies ever made.
Aren't there 6?
The latest 3 are crimes against nature.
But you gotta love Jar Jar Binks.
Pardon?
He was so funny, didn't you think?
I'm sorry, but I have to leave. I could accept your shallow, materialistic, vacuous, ignorant, narrow-mindedness, but Jar Jar Binks? Are you kidding me? Goodbye.
Okay, bye. Oh, wait a minute. He never paid the bill.
Thank you, Sid, Kylie, and Sam. That was brought to you in part by CrossFit, exercise for masochists. That's the end of our show, and join us again next week for more White Noise.
White Noise was written and directed by Simon Welton, featuring the voice talents of John Greenway, Mariana Mate, Connor Nishelput, Sierra Wiley, Victoria Bass, and Simon Welton. Music and sound effects by Max Cheers.
At Dunkin' Donuts, each and every
radio show
is brewed fresh and served fresh at the peak of its flavor. If you're a tough customer, only the taste of this
radio show
will do. So go ahead, let Dunkin' Donuts make your
radio experience
exquisite.
Indeed.
Dunkin' Donuts, serving sweet treats from the Pop Underground. Thursdays, noon to 1.
All right, you're listening to the CITR 101.9 FM out of Vancouver. My name is Simon Welton. That was the White Noise Show. You're now listening to the White Noise After Show. I'm joined in the studio today by the lovely Nick Roy. Say hello, Nick.
G'day, mate.
Nick is a comic. He's from Vancouver. He's won Funniest Comedian in Alberta back in 2002, Funniest New Comic at Funnyfest Comedy Festival 2003, second place for Just for Laughs Homegrown Competition 2002, and he's even opened for Nickelback in Tragically Hip. So we're going to be talking to him a little later in the show, but if you have any questions for him, send them in to whitenoiseubc@gmail.com, or you could tweet us at @whitenoiseubc. So definitely send them in, and we'll ask him some questions. I'm going to ask him some of my own, but here's a bit of music first. This is Big Dick, so I hope you enjoy Big Dick. Alright, that was Give Up by Big Dick off their album Disappointment. I'm joined in the studio by Nick Roy. We're going to listen right now to a bit of Nick Roy's shtick, so you can see what it is. This is something special, though. As I mentioned earlier in the show, we're actually going to listen to Nick Roy actually break the world record for the most impressions in a minute. He's been telling me, actually, that he's improved upon this record since then. So we'll talk a bit more about how he got even better. We'll let you know, though, there is some rather inappropriately strong language in here. Nothing I condone. But, you know, that's comedy. We don't agree with everything. So I hope you enjoy.
Talent agent's office, and talent agent's like, what do you got for me today? And the guy's like, oh, I'm going to do an impression of 31 famous people having a gay orgy. And the talent agent is like, so you're going to do an impression of 31 famous people having a gay orgy? And the guy's like, yes, and I'm going to do it under a minute. And the talent agent is like, let me get this straight. You're going to do an impression of 31 famous people having a gay orgy under a minute. And the guy's like, yes. What I'm going to do is I'm going to say the name of the person being impersonated, and then I'm going to do the sound. Name, sound, name, sound. So, without further ado, this is my impression of Gollum fucking Precious and Daniel Day-Lewis. Precious, Precious, nobody loves me. Yes, I do. Shaggy fisting Yoda while Macho Man jerks off the Count and Archie bunker in front of Cartman. Mr. Broombastard. Yes, dig it, yeah. Bah-ha-ha. Thank you, dude. Donald Duck sneezing. Sulu and Popeye getting a hand job from Sling Blade and Marlon Brando. Oh. Taters. Bada. Jimmy Stewart zombie raping Chad Kruger, Bruce Lee, Beaker, and Goofy. I want to eat your brains. Yeah. A-tah. Ooh. Mimi. Oh, heel. JFK is Batman. Oh, I'm Batman. Kid from The Shining. Red Rum. Irish Mr. T. Hey, pity the fool. Edward Norton's retarded character from The Score. Danny, it's in the fire. Danny, I can't see. Al Jolson, Keanu Reeves, Candy, and Fat Albert eating each other's scat. Mommy. Whoa. Hey, hey, hey. Hannibal stabbing Porky Pig while Woody Woodpecker laughs. Abadia, abadia, abadia. Like a warm bath. Seinfeld doing an impression of Michael Richards. There's a nigger. What's the deal?
Done.
All right,
so there we go.
That was the... Sorry, I'm in a bit of trouble with the button there. That was Nick Roy there. So yeah, so that was your world record. So what inspired you to even attempt such a thing?
I saw someone do it, and I honestly thought I could beat it. Pretty much how all world records work.
I guess so, yeah.
You see somebody doing something, you're like, I could do that. And then I just did it for fun. I did it for, like, a video for my film class. And then I rendered it on a website, and I honestly did not expect that to get confirmed as number one. Because, you know, I did do a lot of obscure references, you know, Jimmy Stewart. And I say the N-word, so I didn't. It was just a joke, but whatever. I guess they accepted it. But I've already beaten that, but I haven't filmed it yet. I was gonna do that in front of an audience, so I'm just gonna wait till I find a big enough audience. I can do 38.
So what the new characters?
They're pretty much the same, and seven more.
Yeah. So that's what I mean, though. What are the new? Which ones did you add?
Let's see. JFK as Batman, I think. I end with the only one that I kept was the N-word one at the end. That's the only one.
Okay.
Yeah. Mushroom the Candy Maker, Cartman, Kenny, Sulu, Jimmy Stewart, Zombie Chad, Cougar, Bruce Lee, Beaker, Goofy, Popeye, Slingblade, Elephant Man, and Bane. Elephant Man and Bane.
Yeah, they're new. There you go. Yeah.
Yeah.
All right, nice. So let's go back to the start, though, and talk about, like, what got you into comedy? Because, I mean, I always think this is an interesting question, because people think we're all going to have the same answer, but it's really not. I've heard a huge variety of answers. So, like, what got you into comedy?
Well, I thought it was funny. And, well, you know how, like, when you're growing up, everybody's trying to make each other laugh and outdo each other?
Right.
Yeah, so I was just trying to do that, you know, with everyone around me. And then I was, it was the classic class clown type of beginning, which is what, like, I think a lot of comedians start out as.
Oh, I've heard this.
Yeah, and also, I mean, like, I see people, they're, like, trying to be funny, and I'm like, oh, I could beat that. It's always, like, a competition.
Yeah, you know? I mean, that's...
Like, leave on a high note, and like, oh, okay, I made a bit everyone in the room laugh more, I'm going to leave now. Right? And then some people Remember that?
Yeah, no, I get that. I mean, that's my answer to that always is that, yeah, I watched a show and I was like, no, I'm funnier than that. Like, what? I want to try and do that. And then you spend forever proving that to yourself. So I can definitely sympathize with that. So, like, when you write, though, like, what sort of inspires your comedy? Like, what do you think, you know, where does it come from for you?
I don't know. I just, you know, think of things and I say them and, I don't know. Just whatever's funny, either it's observational or very observational. Isn't it all observational? I don't know.
Well, that's definitely a brand.
You know, like, what's the deal with this? I do a lot of what's the deal.
Because, I mean, if you go into, like, things like self-deprecation, that's not really observational, is it?
It's a form of it.
If it's absurdist, though, you're not observing the absurd, you're making up the absurd always, so... Yeah.
Well, I do what some would say offensive material.
Why do you do that? Like, what makes you want to do that?
Well, I don't really say, today I'm going to write an offensive joke. It usually, it just comes to me, and... I don't really consider it offensive. I just consider it just something funny.
No, I mean, that's the thing. Like, you know, this line is just an invisible line. Like, you know, people seem to, you know, draw. And in this city, it appears to be drawn quite strongly and quite quickly by a lot of people. That's the impression I get from other comics.
Yeah.
Even if they weren't saying outright, a lot of subtext there of that opinion.
Oh, yeah.
Why do you think the line isn't where they think it is?
Because it's always moving. Like, the line is never straight and solid and there. It's always, because it's in every individual's opinion of what offensiveness is. Nobody thinks the same way and thinks that this is more offensive than that. Everyone has their own lines of what they can say and what can't they say. Like, for example, one time I made fun of this guy who had alopecia. What's the one where you don't have hair on your face? You don't have...
Yeah, alopecia.
Alopecia, right. And then I made fun of some guy in the crowd who had alopecia. I didn't know he had alopecia. He just had a shaved head and he had no eyebrows. And I made fun of the fact that he had no eyebrows. And then he got really upset and, you know... But, again, how would I know he had alopecia? Like, you know, to him, the most offensive thing to him is making a alopecia joke. But if you say that to, like, a big crowd and, you know, none of them may not know anyone with alopecia, and so they wouldn't get offended.
Yeah, I mean, I think you're right that you can make a broader argument that personal stuff hurts for some people.
Yeah.
But, yeah, like, you know, you can joke about a war if you didn't have your mom shot in that war. Like, it's funny then, perhaps, yeah. But it wouldn't be if you lost...
I've seen a lot of people do cancer jokes.
Right.
And I've seen people laugh at it, and there's nothing to get offended at, but what if, you know, you know somebody or a relative that just died of cancer? It's going to be really offensive to you compared to... other people, and they're like, cancer.
It's true. I mean, you know, yeah, no, that's a fair point. You know, some people are inevitably going to be more sensitive about certain things.
Yeah.
But I do think that stand-up probably is still a bit more freer than other mediums in that people accept the fact that it's comedy and that it's going to be offensive sometimes. In stand-up more than other mediums. Like, I think people complain more about, like, what they see on television and like, the, you know, the strength of some of the ratings from films, it just seems absurd in terms of sexual and adult sort of content. Yeah. It doesn't take much.
No. What was that, the you know, the Michael Richards thing?
Where he said the N-word?
Yeah. Let
me just clarify exactly what it is in case you don't know what we're talking about. So Michael Richards was on Seinfeld. He was Kramer. He was much beloved. He was also a stand-up comic since then.
He was in Problem Child. Let's remember that.
Let's note that. He's a stand-up as well. And one night, which town was it in?
It was L.A. or New York.
L.A. Okay, yeah.
Comedy Store.
Somewhere where someone was filming it anyway, much to his detriment. And basically, he was on stage. He was being heckled by a gentleman. And he decided that the way to deal with that is to shout the N-word at this gentleman as many times as possible. And he admitted afterwards that it was a terrible mistake and that he was being selfish by attempting to make a joke out of the situation because he was bombing, and that's why the guy heckling was getting to him. And, you know, he made this selfish error of trying to make a joke and stay on stage rather than just saying, I'm done, I need to walk off. But yeah, so that's basically what the story is. So what were you going to say about it, Nick?
Well, I think it was not so much just a hate speech thing as it was advertisement for the iPhone or a camera phone. Because if he was doing that, like maybe a few years before that came out on a phone, then he might have gotten away with it and it would have been an urban legend.
Yeah.
Something like that.
It's true, yeah. Like, people wouldn't want to believe that of something. I mean, because that's the thing right now. Like, there's still people walking around going, well, maybe Bill Cosby wasn't a massive, like, a sex offender during the 70s. They're like, maybe he wasn't. And but if there was a videotape of it, I think
right.
It would be a lot, you know, which is fair enough. That is good evidence.
I think he was, I've seen comics do N-word jokes, even white comics do N-word jokes, and they got laughs. And I think it mostly has to do with he just wasn't being funny. In a sense.
Yeah. I mean,
he was working. He had a N-word joke, and then he got interrupted, and then he just decided to say, "Oh, look, it's those guys, people there." So
yeah, of course. Like, if you're not saying anything clever, then you can't expect to get any laugh from it. That's inevitable, I think, in comedy. But
yeah, they say that it's easier to write a clean joke, but I think it's harder to write an offensive joke that's clever that you can make an uptight, you know, left-wing crowd laugh at.
Well, that's because what they're looking for is they're looking for someone to say something to them. They want to be challenged. They don't want to just laugh. They want you to say something profound. So it does have to have all those levels for that particular crowd.
Yeah, because, you know, any comedian can just, like, oh, this is going to be offensive, and then, like, well, is there, like, a punchline to there or anything like that? You know, anyone can write just, like, an offensive word and say shit. Like, in Europe or places like that, the crowd is unoffendable. All they get offended at is something that's not funny, so you can say anything you want.
Oh, totally. I mean,
and then the crowd there would just be like, okay, yeah, woman's, whatever, and as long as it has funny to it, then it's the only thing that matters.
You're very right in that. Like, I mean, it's hard to tell, I think, from here, because, like, I mean, I don't know about you, but I haven't been to tons of smaller shows there. I mean, I've seen lots of tape of things like Frankie Boyle Live, but Frankie Boyle Live is in front of 20,000 people who came to see Frankie Boyle, so of course they're expecting the most dirty mental Scottish filth that he could produce. But, you know, I don't know what that would be like if you're in a club in, you know, the middle of London that no one's ever heard of you. Perhaps it would be a different story. I don't know. It's one thought.
Yeah, well, I guess if you have a following like that, it's easier for you to be offensive, because that's what they expect, you know. And there is a market for it, obviously, if it's working for him, and there's other comics that use that, and there is a market for that.
Because, I mean, there's people here that get away with it too, like Stanhope. I mean, Doug Stanhope is filthy as they come. But
he always has something, you know, like, more than just... He has something more. He has, like, a point.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. You know, I mean, I think actually someone like Frankie Boyle says more things that are harder to see what the point is of it than even Stanhope. Like, I think... and even like Jimmy Carr, like, some of his stuff is, you know, borderline just sort of racist, or, like, you know, he gets into sort of murky waters. Usually, though, he's got some point, or he's just like, I'm just joking. But because, I mean, he does a lot of child sex offender jokes as well and things like that. But no one really complains, because he's wearing a suit and he's got a posh accent, so he sort of gets away with it.
Yeah, well, I mean, we're in a university, and I don't know if they teach a racism course here.
Oh, yeah, you could definitely take courses on that.
Okay, because it's really confusing on who can be racist and who can't be, and it's different, because if you're a woman, you can get away with stuff.
I think the answer is no one. No one needs to be. But who can joke about it is, I think, more the question.
Yeah.
Because you're right, like, you know, because there are horrible things that we all joke about, because that's just how you sort of bring up the issue and deal with it in a way that isn't offensive to someone. Because, I mean, like, politics is a really hard thing to talk about seriously.
Yeah.
So you have to, but you can talk about it in jokes, because then you get your point across without appearing to be, you know, Jane Garofalo, basically. So it's, you know, you could be sort of, you just have to be clever about it.
I seen a guy get punched in the face for doing a 9/11 joke on September 12th, 2001.
He might have deserved it then.
Yeah, because he wasn't really, he was just like working on the bit. He didn't really like have it figured out yet, because he was just open miking it, probably the he got hit in the face by a performer that was up after him, and that was the cancellation of that show.
Damn.
Seen a lot of that going on.
I mean, he only had a day to work on it, so of course he was only still fleshing it out by that point. Like, it was...
Yeah, and that place where Michael Richards, that club that he did, now has like a policy for you can't say certain words, and it's not just certain words, it's certain subject matter too, and it's spreading, kind of like smoking bylaws all across North America.
Wow.
Yeah, so, yeah, I don't know. It's kind of like how, what should I say? Politically, the snake of political correctness has snaked its way into comedy, and comedy will probably be the first one to go. Like, because we're entering a future where it's going to be similar to Demolition Man. Ever seen that movie where, you know, you swear and you get fined? You know, you swear in a public place, like, John Spartan, you are fined 5 credits for violating the verbal treaty code. You know, and it seems like it's going into that direction.
Well, I you worry about stuff like that, but at the same time, I feel like resources are becoming so. Sort of will become so scarce that we won't be able to afford to mess around with silly little things like that. Like, yeah. We'll have bigger issues having no water, earth being right. Heated up to a point where we all can't survive because we're drowning. You know, Waterworld is that. Forget Demolition Man, Waterworld. That's what's coming.
Yeah. isn't it like Mad Max, but on water? Movie?
Yeah, less cars, unfortunately. Okay. All right, but we're going to play some music. We're going to play, we've also got to play some PSAs and some adverts and some other fun stuff. But we'll be right back with Nick Roy. So coming up right now is Electric Youth with Without You.
To be know what's up at UBC? Read the UBC. It's only the largest student newspaper in Western Canada, and it's written and edited entirely by UBC students. The UBC is your source for on-campus news, culture, and sports. New editions come out every Monday and Thursday. For breaking news, as well as amazing videos and blogs, check out ubc.ca.
All right, so there we go. You're back in the studio with Simon Welton and Nick Roy. So you're just listening to Sonic Youth with Without You. That was a pretty good track.
Sonic Youth?
Yeah, not Sonic Youth. Not Sonic Electric Youth. Youth. Electric Sorry. Youth. Wrong Youth.
Sonic Youth is no longer a youth. I don't know why they call him still Sonic Youth.
Yeah.
Sonic Old.
Sonic used to be young. Yeah. Well, I don't think anybody's listening.
Like Backstreet Boys, you know, like even when they were boys, they weren't boys, they were men. So. Spice Women. You know. Let's grow up here, shall we, with more of these 90s jokes.
Well, I just think that once you have to change a name, you should just quit as a band anyway. It's been too long.
Yeah, Jefferson Starship. Remember, they used to be Airplane, and then they, in the 80s, for some reason, they decided to go horrible, and then they became Jefferson Starship.
And there's...
What's bigger than Airplane? A starship, yeah. People are going to dig this.
And Sublime and, was it Rio, or what's his name? Romeo, that's it. Sublime and Romeo, because they lost their lead singer, so they replaced him with some bloke called Romeo.
Oh, okay, I don't know much about Sublime.
I'll say it, just give it up, lads. Like it was good while it lasted, probably at that point.
Yeah, well, you can tell. I think, you know, like bands should do themselves a favor, because you can't make money from CDs anymore. You can only make money from touring. You know, you probably just end it. You know, and then you can, you know, live in infamy as a legend, right?
Yeah, go out on top for sure.
Yeah, like, you know, there's a guy from a band called Snot that died, and the guy from some metal band, like, let the bodies hit the floor. You know, remember that song? Let the bodies hit the floor.
I do, vaguely, yeah.
Yeah, apparently that guy died, and he's like considered a metal legend only because he died.
Well, especially in metal, though, I think dying is the one way to make yourself always legendary.
Yeah, I think in all music, if you die, and you're like who was that chick that died on the plane? This R&B singer, what the hell's her name was? Anyway, no one really knew about her, but she died, and then now she's more famous.
Yeah,
forget her name.
Yeah, I mean, there's plenty. I mean, because they all die at 27, right? Yeah. There's like Kurt Cobain, mm-hmm. Jim Morrison. Right.
Yeah, there's a whole
Hendrix,
website about this.
Like, yeah. Which is completely ridiculous. It's just, I guess, maybe though there is something to be said. Perhaps that's sort of the age that people sort of mentally peak at. Maybe that's what it is.
Well, they say that as a musician, you can't get any better after age 27. You can get different and just as good, but you're not going to get better. And
really?
Which is also, yeah, same about most performers, except for maybe actors, maybe the exception. But I notice comedians aren't as funny as they used to be. Like, if they pass age 40, then they're not as, they don't have the same type of passion they did.
But
except there's a few exceptions.
Yeah, but I wouldn't say 27 is...
Well, no, 27 for musicians, but I'd say for comedians,
comics,
older. It's older.
Yeah, because...
40 or something.
Because we were talking about this last week with Kelly Dyer, and he made a fairly good point, which is he's like, you know, when you're younger, you just don't have quite the... You can't sell yourself quite as well as you can once you get a bit older in terms of your life experience and your... You know, like you speaking from a position of knowledge when you're in your... Well, at least you appear to be when you're in like your late 30s, your early 40s. Whereas if you're 20, you just look like some kid who's trying to like talk smack and you know, make the funny. And it's sort of like, who the hell are you if you're a 40-year-old guy? It's a bit like now I watch sports... And, like, I can't watch junior hockey because it's like watching children now to me because I'm, in my mid-20s, I feel like I'm watching kids play. And I'm like, why the hell would I watch this? You know, and I'm sure at 35, I'll feel the same about, like, pro sports where I'm like, these guys are, like, in their 20s. Like, why do I care?
Well, I noticed that when they're in their 20s, they don't know they're mortal until they turn 30. They realize they're going to die. But in their 20s, they don't know their mortality. But also, in a sense, I think it gives them a lot of confidence because they still think in their minds they can conquer the world and all this stuff and they're going to be really famous. And then usually when you get older, you realize all that might not happen. But when you're young, you think, you believe you do, and it gives you more ambition, you know. And then, like, Eddie Murphy was, what, 20, early 20s, you know, when he was a stand-up comic, or when he last was a stand-up comic. And I don't think he had points, you know, he was just like, you know, piss and vinegar, energy, and I think it was that. I don't think you really need points to be,
he also did a lot of homophobic stuff that you just can't do anymore.
Yeah, but in those days,
appalling, but...
in those days it wasn't offensive, because that's the thing, offensiveness changes, like, every generation changes their mind on what's offensive and what isn't offensive, because I can remember, like, 20, 30 years ago, people got more offended at sex jokes than racist jokes.
Right, but I think also perhaps things like religion are probably easier to talk about now.
Certain religions.
Yeah,
Christianity is a big one. Like, yeah, there's a bunch of Jesus jokes, but you can't really make Jew jokes because they're all, I don't know, maybe because they're protected also under racist law. I don't know the real...
Well, because it's a minority thing. And that's the same with all comedy, in that if you can't punch down, so if you're making fun of minorities within a society, you are punching down always. So, like, that's why it's off limits, you know, unless you're part of the minority, and then there's a little bit more leeway there.
Yeah.
But it makes sense that's you know, in a way. But I think it's still good that we can make some religious jokes as well, at least. I don't know, as an atheist, I feel that there's some vindication there. Because, it's a big rich area.
I think it's a free market for everything. Free market for everything. As long as it's funny, then it should be said. I don't think there's boundaries in that. Like, atheist jokes should be done.
Yeah, totally. But and
not much to talk about with the atheists.
No, I mean, it's agnostics. I actually made a joke on the sketch show last week about agnostics, because I thought that's a pretty fair game one, as basically just being so undecided that they're really, you know, they're on the fence and they're sort of they're cheating a little bit, and it's like, you know, just pick a side, man. But
right.
you know, wanted to believe. But anyway, that is 9 p.m. bloody hell. We have got to finish it there. That was an interesting conversation. I'm sure we'll get some angry letters. I apologize.
The police is coming. It's my cue to go.
That's just the very awesome synaptic sandwich come in to rescue us and play their funky tunes. So we're going to leave you now with one song. Thank you very much for joining us. This was the White Noise After Show. We'll be back next week with Ed Hill, who's joining us on the show. So join us for that. Otherwise, have a lovely week, and thank you for listening. You're pushing down on my shoulders and emptying my lungs. And in a moment, I'm older. It's nothing, like words I never should have said. And distress comes to the surface, but all of the heroes are dead. And I hate that I can't see. I'm